Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And we have been away for a few weeks because there is a global pandemic going on, and we are not in the same space today. We are recording remotely to practice physical distancing and obey the laws of the state. And to be honest, it's been a little difficult getting the energy to actually have something to say, gets time to say something at all. And so it took a minute for us to get back. And so we're going to talk through some of that today. But first, I do want to announce again, the National Association of Black Seminarians and Alumni is an organization that is currently being built. We're recruiting for a directory to start to connect Black seminarians and alumni to provide resources, vocational assistance, and things like that to seminarians as they need it and they go out to the world and do good things. So if you're interested, if you know someone who may be interested, check out the link in the description and have them sign up. So mental health check. How are you feeling, Amira?
I'm stressed. This is just a time of high uncertainty. So overall, I feel like I'm doing okay, but I'm extremely sensitive to some of the energy that I feel like is around me that has to do with, you know, again, a degree of uncertainty. I'm definitely sensitive to the inconsistency in the messaging around the coronavirus pandemic and what to do about it. I'm also seeing, you know, what are the responses to that stress and to the anxiety. So even though we are under a stay-at-home order and not really able to participate in our normal lives, I do recognize that other things are happening to keep us connected. So I guess I'm riding the wave, but it definitely feels different. How about you?
I am mentally exhausted. Since this thing has started, and, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to work from home. So that's a big stress relief for myself and the family. The children are home and we are educating them at the same time. And I'm still navigating full-time semester and a few other projects that didn't stop because of this. And so all of that is going on most of that has been going on before, but now that we have this event, it's been mentally difficult to get up for things. Like, so I find myself taking a lot of breaks. Like, I'll have a schedule of things I need to do, and that schedule will slip a little bit. And that brings with it other stress. Like, oh, I got to get these things done. And so just trying to keep up with everything. I've had to cut a couple things back, but overall the family's healthy. We're here, well stocked. And, I know there's a lot of ways this could go worse than it actually is. So it's just a mental challenge at this point.
Right. I think there's also, you know, empathy coming into the mix. We are facing the change in our circumstances. And, you know, thankfully we have some things going on in our life, some flexibilities, the ability to work from home, having a home at all. Like, this is really brought into sharp focus, you know, what is making this disruption tenable? You know, how are we coping? And I do recognize that for a lot of people, their worlds have been turned upside down in the last 3 weeks, and they haven't been able to just, you know, so quickly adapt or be agile. They may have those jobs that were so quickly eliminated just from being put on hold. As this whole thing began to take shape, the way that it shut down whole industries and really attempted to catch up from behind, you know, and the reason for us catching up from behind, as we discussed offline, they vary. But I think that we've done a good job in documenting that. But we always knew that if there was a collision between, let's see, some of the policies and things and choices that were being made and those events that come about that are outside of your control, such as this public health emergency, we are seeing right now the fallout. And I think it's a human response to be at least fatigued, you know, if not overwhelmed by this idea that it's all going, you know, that things are going wrong and going wrong at a scale where you can feel really kind of powerless to do anything about it. And that could be happening, you know, in your home, that could be happening in relationships, that could be happening in your finances, it could be happening anywhere. So part of us, you know, coming together and making sure that we are not only talking to one another, but also reaching out to our audience, is that we recognize that for many people, this is a test of whatever fragile faith they may have. And it's a test of their resilience. You know, this is a situation where you have to be, you know, courageous, brave, strong, smart, savvy. And for a great many of us who are showing up in that situation or showing up under those circumstances, the weight that we feel should be acknowledged, the weight that we may be feeling, the feelings that we may be carrying, you know, we have to acknowledge those things, because everybody's not going to show their stress at the same way. But this is most definitely a national emergency that is affecting, you know, people in different ways and to different degrees.
Yeah, I think anxiety is high across the board for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. This is an unprecedented event. Even we spoke in our Facebook Live about the fact that in 1918 with the Spanish flu, that was a little bit different because we weren't as connected globally. And so exactly. We didn't all feel it the same way. So not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing if you're safe, can you get tested, those raise anxiety. But one of the things you alluded to earlier is having the empathy for other human beings, because even though I may be here working from home, one of the first things that occurred to me was the fact that hourly wage earners are going to just be slaughtered. And we're seeing that through the statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the unemployment numbers
and unemployment filings. Yep.
And what's different about this situation is under a normal emergency, organizations would rise up to help. And so you would see food banks, you would see donations and things like that, people getting out to help. Everyone is basically forced to stay in the house, and your opportunities to help other people who are in more need are limited. And like you said, that helplessness just sets in, and that increases the overall anxiety. And so it's something that we're all learning to navigate now. There are different things that you know, we found and been able to do. Like, you can send maybe some Cash Apps to some people who you know are in need, or maybe get some deliveries to people. But that we are still trying to figure out how we can best help each other in this tremendous time of unprecedented uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, in situations like this, you get to see what the community is actually going to do. And I think that one of the biggest barriers and one of the biggest obstacles we have to overcome is misinformation, because sometimes just understanding that people cling to things that they understand, things that they can explain. You know, they try to make things small enough for them to consume, to be able to explain, to be able to rationalize. And even in doing that, that can cause stress, because the information is not always good. You know, we're in an environment where gaslighting is a normal, commonplace happening between the people and their leaders. I mean, if you allow misinformation to go unchecked, if you allow people to constantly misspeak, if you allow people to deny their statements when their statements are what make things happen, you know, or not happen, it can be very, very frustrating to just try to keep up with all of that. So we just wanted to recognize that people might be feeling this stress, again, not only just on that higher level, but being home after moving around. I don't think people realize how much they move around, you know, going to work, running their errands, going and coming as they please. So you have some people stressed or feeling differently because their environment has changed. They're home now more in the last 3 weeks than maybe they've been in months.
One of the first things that hit me, I was tired after like the first 3 days of trying to teach kids and work full time and things like that. And it occurred to me that usually the family says goodbye and we're apart for like 8 to 10 hours and we don't see each other. My wife and I may text occasionally throughout the day, but for the most part, we're separated. And then we come back, have a few hours at the end of the day, then, you know, get ready for bedtime. Couple hours before you go to bed, and then you're up doing it again. So to be in proximity to your family, which sounds bad, but it really does matter to have that kind of sustained engagement with your family is a different way of living. Contrast that with people who are used to, who may not have the family situation, and they're used to going out, interacting with other people. Then they come home and they have their alone time. They can decompress and things like that. It's different when you don't get that opportunity to engage other human beings and you're at home by yourself, maybe. So it's, all of us are experiencing a new way of living, like you said, and it's disruptive, it's disorienting, and it takes some time to settle into how to get a handle on that new rhythm.
You know, people's lens is different. It's not just having family at home, like I believe we just said, some people don't have that. It's them doing it alone, and this might feel very intense with nobody really, let's say a companion, somebody to share the stressor with, or to share the uncertainty with, to share the pillow talk with, that kind of comes up with these situations. Many localities are concerned about an increase in partner and family abuse. Again, changing that dynamic of getting in and out of the home and intensifying pressures due to finances, emotions, and that general anxiety, things can get dangerous for people too.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in an abusive situation, physically abusive or emotionally, verbally abusive situation, and now you're in with that abuser, you're locked in with that person, you need help. And I don't know, the organizations are struggling how to get you the help that you need, because they can't just welcome people in. I guess they can, but it's at risk. So you take someone out that's been out, and then you assume risk for you and your family or whoever you go home to or interact with. And so it's a new set of challenges that we're trying to figure out how to navigate very quickly without much help. And so you have the relationship type challenges. And then, like you said, we have the financial challenges, where some people can work, some people can't work, some people work and they don't want to, or they're terrified to go to work.
Yes, and they have to. Organizations are already showing, you know, it's amazing that some people are seeing this crisis through the lens of public health versus some people seeing it through economy. And, you know, I think a balanced approach is to see both. But rest assured, there are vulnerable populations at the front lines who have to work. So we're not just talking about our healthcare workers and our healthcare workforce, which, you know, we appreciate and honor their commitment, because they're facing this thing head on. And we still do not know the magnitude of the days that they've seen over the past, let's say, 4 weeks, especially in hot spots like New York and New Orleans. And San Francisco has been under a lockdown for about 3 weeks. It's also people like your bus drivers. It's your public workers. It's your trash workers, your sanitation workers, your transportation workers. They cannot necessarily, you know, leave their jobs. And our public servants, people are going to, you know, they're making sacrifices bigger than we know. And if you're in one of those roles, you know, again, it's so important to see and acknowledge that these people are sacrificing way more than a salary could cover. Nobody wants to be the person who puts their family in a vulnerable position. Yet these nurses are coming to work. These doctors are coming to work. These transportation workers are ensuring that everybody else can get where they need to go. So it's a system. And I hope that people kind of come away from this understanding just how interconnected we still are. Like I said, this, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing for everything that has been contracted and changed, I am seeing how humanity still wants to rise to the occasion of being there for one another. Like, it hasn't all gone to hell. We are.
Yeah.
Even though it's only been a few weeks, we are trying.
Yeah. They're heroes everywhere. It's on the healthcare front lines. It's on, like you said, trash and sanitation workers. If that stopped, we would be in trouble. Every day, I'm thankful for whoever's showing up at the power plant to keep the power on, because this would be a completely different situation if someone wasn't going to work to do that. Water services, things like that. Like, it's a lot of people who are pressed into service and at tremendous risk to themselves and their families. And it's like you said, humanity is rising to the occasion. It's usually in that lower strata that we're saying are at greatest risk and are actually enabling us to navigate through this type of crisis. For anyone who is empathetic at all, is empath or just has any level of empathy, like to know that these people are out working and making sure that you have what you need or your family has what you need, stores, shelves are stocked and things like that. It's that cumulative stress of knowing that people are putting themselves at risk and you are depending on them is adding to an already bad situation. And then on top of that, we're at a point where people are starting to get sick. People are starting to lose their life to this illness. And
it's loved ones who have lost their lives.
Yeah, yeah. You got people that you know. Like most of us now have family members at least that have contracted this. Some people have family members that have passed on because of this, or friends of family that are dealing with this or have passed. And now you're seeing the way grieving has just been upended because you can't grieve as you normally need to. Like you can't get with your family and have a repast and a funeral and all of that. You have to figure out how.
And all of our cultural markers.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is going to be very, you know, again, I wonder how we adapt and how much of that do we leverage on our technological platforms, you know, movements in society that sometimes push you back, push you forward. So I do feel like we're going to see new reflections of these traditions and new reflections of these cultural markers because we are a people who we improvise, we make it work, we make things happen. But this is one of those, this is a game changer like Katrina, where Katrina disrupted a cultural understanding of the passage of time and the passage of life for a whole area of people because they have been displaced. The same thing is happening because we have lost access to our places where we socialize. So there is no, you know, increasingly you will see that we will not be having these large funerals. We will not be gathering in large spaces. Like you said, we cannot have these repasts right now. So that will manifest itself some way in a different way in the community, because once upon a time, we've always had to deal with, you know, a separation or some sort of forced separation of the community from its culture. This is going to be the same thing, but I do look forward to seeing how we make it all come back together. New art will emerge. New ways of communicating, new ways of acknowledging will emerge. That will be the silver lining, but the void is very real.
Yeah, those are the things that I'm holding on to. The uncertainty is scary, but there's also hope there. There's also uncertainty about how we will overcome this, how we will get through this and develop those new mechanisms for interacting with each other and honoring each other, and how the system will change. Because for a while, that first week, people were like, well, how are we going to get back to normal? And I'm thinking, well, normal wasn't really working that well. So this is a global pandemic, and normal may not be possible after this. And if that's the case, what does a new normal look like for us? And so just taking that space to imagine what could happen after this. I mean, there's going to be tremendous devastation. And in this country, more devastation than should have happened, which is another part of the issue. But to know that something has to come after this, this is not the end of us. This is not the end of everything that we know. So that's one of the ways that I've been working through dealing with some of the anxiety around this. So for you, how have you been practicing self-care through this time?
I've been making myself available for conversations, making sure that I make an effort to communicate with my friends and my family and not taking those moments for granted, because those conversations are important to me, but they're important to, you know, the people I'm speaking with. So I'm just noticing that the quality is there. And again, using our social platforms to get visuals, you know, we've been having virtual happy hours. We've been interacting on like Instagram, going to various DJ sets and, you know, getting some music and some movement in our lives. These things have been good. I've been cooking like a crazy person. Oh my God. But, you know, being there for my friends, talking, laughing in my work, I am able to feel as if I am giving support and giving outlet to people who are also dealing with the stresses of this environment. So that has been helpful because I've been able to do something with that energy, right? Like sometimes things make more sense when you're trying to explain them to somebody else. So within reason, I've been making myself available to just be helpful while also recognizing that this is a great time for boundaries. You know, again, I wasn't really working from home before this. Now that I am, I'm learning all of these different hidden mechanisms on time management and boundaries and communication. And I'm just like, okay, you know, so I'm just finding myself being flexible. I'm trying to be agile. I love quiet time now because things have gotten very loud between the media, trusted sources and whatever, just trying to get these messages out and making sure that the information is truthful and honest and forthcoming. That is a job in and of itself. Making sure that my family is okay, you know, that is a job in and of itself. So I have found that making time for quiet time and making time for at least music, you know, 30 minutes of music will work wonders for me. It's the little things at this point.
Yeah, that's one of the things I found, that a little less news and a little more music helps a lot right now. I try to stay informed. Well, I am staying informed, but I am aware of how that affects me as I pay attention, because I'm very focused on not necessarily looking at the numbers. The numbers, I see them, but I'm always conscious of the fact that those are people behind those numbers, that those each number is a life, and that life meant something to someone. And so it's tough to see those numbers climb the way that they are. And so I have to balance that with taking breaks. And one of the things I've been seeing a lot of gaslighting on social media, like this is the time to be productive, and, you know, God is going to use this time to do something great through you and things like that. And I'm like, well, that's possible, but this is also a world-changing event. And for something that we've never experienced, our parents or grandparents haven't experienced this, it's okay to not be productive. It's okay that some things have to fall. And so getting past that and allowing myself the opportunity to say, all right, I got these things to do, but I need a minute for myself. I need some time.
Exactly.
And just taking that time is critical for maintaining my emotional well-being right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, two things. I think that, you know, one, I just want to make sure that we extend compassion to the kids because their school year has been upended and they're home now. And their last day of school, they had their last day of school and they didn't even really know. You know what I mean? We don't really know if our kids are going to get back to school. But just giving them some empathy and some sensitivity and some encouragement, because this is happening to them as children. And I could not imagine, you know, the uncertainty that this has unleashed in just their limited experience. It's been amazing. I deal with my God kids, and it's just like when my godson was really understanding that, whoa, you know, am I going to go back for the sixth grade? That is something where I'm just like, I want to encourage him and I want to keep him optimistic about his future, because that's a lot coming down on, you know, 12-year-old shoulders. The other thing that I think we should acknowledge is that we already know that this time is about more than just, you know, checking in on our mental health. We have a great body of work, thankfully, over the past couple of years, where we kind of spoke to some signals in the environment that we wanted people to pay attention to. And this show is not about that, but rest assured, we're going to circle back to some of the things that we wanted to pull out in the environment, the collision between Christianity and capitalism, the gaslighting that you were speaking about has to do with the fact that I don't think that, again, you know, people really know how this capitalist system really works. You know, what does it require? Fully acknowledging that I was brought up in it, I think these are some of the things that we were trying to acknowledge, that capitalism can be brutal at times. And for 3.3 million people who were employed 3 weeks ago to have to file for unemployment this week, that's brutal. For people to not know if they can make their rent. If they are going to, I mean, employers and larger organizations are now, they're lining up in ways to maybe not meet their obligations. And that, again, just contributes to stress. We are going to definitely make sure that we connect the dots on this, because votes matter.
Right.
Elections matter. And this is why.
So this series of shows is going to be about those type of things. It's difficult to talk about something else at this point, but we can talk about this in different ways that we see this impacting us. And one of those mm-hmm. ways is the fact that your finances are perilous right now because of the way capitalism is structured. But a lot of these churches are also experiencing the same thing. Churches that were barely holding on are now figuring out how to survive. And some of those churches are making very dangerous decisions for their members to try to maintain viability at the expense of their members' lives. And so we're going to talk through some of those things. I did want to circle back to one of the things that we found is helpful with the children, because that is a critical point to consider. They miss their friends. They need to be able to interact with other children. If you have a single child in your house, that's a different set of challenges. So we're using technology and things like that to help them at least reach out. We had some of their friends actually drove by today, and that we opened the door and they waved at each other and yelled at each other and talked to each other and things like that. Like, it's different. I mean, kids are missing birthday parties right now. It's really difficult to actually, you got to give attention to, like you said, the children. That's a very important point, because their world is so different, and it's important. So we are figuring out right now how to manage through this. And thank you for being patient with us. But for this next series of shows that we've set up, we're going to talk through some of the impacts of this in the different areas of life that we live, how this is going to be different, and how we can do better. So we're going to try to deal with it, because there's no other way for me to avoid this right now. I can't see myself talking about some other topics, but we will be talking about the Odyssey, because this means something about God. What happens here and how this ends up says something about the God that you believe in. And so we're talking through all of that over the next series of shows.
Yep.
So we hope you stick with us, hang in there. We all doing this together. There is hope in this, and we are going to find it. For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.